Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Go to Stout. You're the first one to arrive.
Okay.
We're not going to be doing advanced reincarnation tonight. We're going to continue with the mini Zohar.
The mini Zohar, you said?
Yes. Good evening, Malka.
Kodesh Tov.
I changed the class to the mini Zohar because I have an appointment about 8:15.
Okay.
That's 8:15 my time. So we're starting at we'll do a L'shem Yichud. We're going to start with Pasuk 89 in Parsha Noach, section 13. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabari Hu Ishkin David Hiluer Hilu Hud Hiluer Himu Leachta L'shem Yud He Vavav He B'Yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehinu Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kenenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kenenehu Vayim Alei Zahadru Yisrael Zahavu Kamei Yakut Shabarichu La'awom Meitin Vayomim Deha Itpasak Minehu zuharma denachash kevan dechavu kidein itfaru inun luche kadme yatmae dechavu beho heru dekolachadu heru Tehahu nachash tehihu ketz kol basar. And had Israel not sinned before the Holy One, blessed be He, they would have never died, for the pollution of the serpent had been purged from them. But because of their sin, the first tablets, which brought freedom from all sins, freedom from the serpent, who is the end of all flesh. This is the angel of death, and the tablets were broken. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it sounds like after, that sounds like the sins of the golden calf. That came after receiving the Esther Debriot.
It's talking about the golden calf as being a cause of the tablets being broken. But prior to that, prior to the building of the golden calf, the crossing of the Yam Suf, all of the limitations that Israel had created for itself had been broken and cleansed. There was no death in the world for 39 days. No one died. And the cause of the result of building the golden calf was death came back into the world. So the building of the golden calf was similar to the sin of Adam. And just as the children of Israel had been cleansed of the tumah, the impurity of death, the children of Israel were cleansed. But that's The process is the angel of death keeps trying at the end. He doesn't give up. And that's the meaning, that's the spiritual law that we have to realize. Go ahead, Monica.
I just have this statement that came to my mind that there's nothing new under the sun. You know?
Correct.
That's kind of what came to my mind.
And validly so.
And now we're back to Anatote, aren't we?
Well, that's really talking about, this verse is really talking about Anatote.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens with Anatote? Death. People die. Verse 90. Lekat kamule vae, lekat la kiltala, kedeitar hivya, bishavava, azil kamehu, vila yakil lishalka'a, beho begim dehawo, Yisrael mizadarizim. Kol ho b'chagiru, mizaynan zelayakil, havu, havu, nachash v'shaltaya, b'chol v'kevan de'amar l'moshe, v'yata horad idyacha, me'alecha, Et yahid reshulehai nachash leshalta'a alayhu. And when the Levites rose up to slay the guilty, that is when Moses told them, put every man his sword by his side and slay every man his brother, then the evil serpent walked in front of them. Nevertheless, he could not dominate them because all Israel were protected with a special armor that protected them against his attacks. This special armor is the ornament that they received at Mount Horeb, which is Mount Sinai. Thus the serpent could not have prevailed against them. However, when he said to Moses, therefore put off your ornaments from yourself, permission to rule over Israel was given to the serpent. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, the ornament sounds like the Torah given at Mount Sinai, and they had to give it up because of golden calf, and now Satan had ruled over Israel again. Death back into the world.
God put off the ornaments when he told him to go down from the mountain. So Moses actually broke the Luchot, the tablets.
Mm-hmm.
Tablets. He broke them himself in order to avoid adultery charges against Israel by the Satan.
Mm-hmm. That means that they did not have another chance to repent of their sins, so Moses broke the tablets to avoid the final death, basically.
Correct. The reason they didn't have any time to repent is that Moses had told them we're going to be only 40 days. keep track of the time.
Right.
But it was the 39th day.
So they had,
we
they
always
didn't have
to do the right thing at the right time.
Each year when we go through Passover and then we do the counting of the Alma for 49 days and we've learned that Shavuot is a gift of immortality, is Hashem giving us every year back to this period where we can overcome what happened? Or are we just like the children and after Shavuot is over, let the Satan back?
Remember the Ari tells us if we stay up all night on Shavuot,
right,
we're clean. There's no death until Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
So it's from year to year, basically.
No, it's not from year to year. When you elevate yourself, when you recognize that story that you read about the golden calf is really about our acting out, when we realize that and make that correction, we will be elevated to Bina and death will be no more on an individual basis. And when enough of us have achieved that level of consciousness, then all of us will be allowed to manifest that consciousness because the Mashiach will arrive.
Okay, so it's our sparks that are elevating to unify all souls from a period to a period.
Essentially, we do not have to die any longer. But people don't realize that truth.
In 8 weeks, you want to go ahead?
No, ma'am.
Okay, in 8 weeks, let's see, I had 9 people who were either friends or family, close friends or family, that passed away. Those images, is that the Satan's way to try to tell you this isn't so, that death will be here forever?
Well, those people were dying because they didn't accept the teaching that they didn't have to die. The majority of the human race does not accept the teaching you do not have to die.
And we're talking spiritually, because our body the Torah states that the generations will only live to be 120.
Yes.
And so you're okay.
It also says that Adam will live 1,000 years, and the only reason it was diminished to 120 was to give us the opportunity to achieve tikkun in a faster way.
Okay.
But once we achieve the tikkun, we will live the 1,000 years. We don't have to have the Mashiach as a person manifest. It's a consciousness.
So you're saying, consciously, the Mashiach is, as we can see it, consciously is peace in the world. Well, there is no war,
that's
there is no
most,
more evil. Is that what you're
that
saying
is
about not?
that's the way people understand the Mashiach consciousness. But if you expect to die, you will, God forbid.
I'm trying to learn this process. I understand from a consciousness, I think, and probably not totally, but I understand what you're saying, that, yeah, we don't, none of us really want to die. I say that some that are with disease and illnesses, that they would rather have death than life because of that. I guess I need to just speak of myself. I want to live forever, you know, and see all of God's words manifest. You know, I want to see that. I want to be part of that. I want to enjoy all the aspects of that. And I'm trying to understand how to do that. I mean, I definitely want to go in that direction.
Malka, I need to ask you a question.
Okay.
Are you prepared to face yourself?
Yes, I am prepared to face myself. Whatever that takes, yes, I am prepared.
Why do you want to be part of that path of the 1,000 years? Why do you want to be part to see the miracles or the wonders or the enlightenment of mankind through science, however it's chosen to manifest? Why do you want to see that?
I don't want to see it. I don't necessarily have to see it. No, that's not what I'm saying. I want to feel the whole experience. I want to feel the true light. I want to see the true light, the concealed light. I want to see it manifest. Yeah, I say see, but I want to feel it.
Yeah. I accept those statements. My question is, why?
Why? Because of all the teachings that we're doing, you know, all of this.
No, I understand that. I'm raising a point for you to contemplate. I understand why I'm teaching these things. But the reason that the Mashiach has not come, the reason that the peace has not happened completely in the Middle East, the reason that we see separation in the world, is because we have not changed sufficiently. Now, what does that change require? It requires us to only do actions because by doing those actions, we give pleasure to Hashem. So when you say you want to experience and be part of the awe and the wonder, I'm asking you to look at why. Because the only reason that will matter is if you are able to honestly say, I want to be part of the awe and wonder to give pleasure to Hashem.
Absolutely.
I don't want anything for myself. In fact, I'm willing to give up my house. I'm willing to give up all of my material possessions. I'm willing to give up my life in order to give pleasure to Hashem. That's the concept of Kiddush Hashem, sanctification of Hashem's name. If we look around our world today, we all know people who are quote-unquote reborn. We all know people who are feeling close to God. But are they really feeling close to God, or are they doing their actions so that they're for selfish reasons? It's not an easy process. Mashiach will come. Okay? How do I bring Mashiach? I bring Mashiach when I have the consciousness that the only reason I'm eating the food I'm eating tonight for dinner is to give pleasure to Hashem. Mashiach will come when I have the consciousness that the only reason I lay tefillin, or the only reason I keep family purity, or the only reason I'm praying is so that Hashem will receive pleasure by my doing that action. But if I'm not willing to give up my house, if I'm not willing to move to Israel, if I'm not willing to make the changes I need to make, Mashiach will just come as the Armageddon War in 222 years in the year 6000. Facing ourselves is not easy. Who wants to leave their home? Who wants to leave their comfort zone? Who wants to wake up and study Torah, study Zohar at midnight every night for the next year? But if I do that, if I wake up every night at midnight for the next year, why am I doing it? I'm doing it because I want to get something in return. That's the aspect of the desire to receive for oneself alone. And we all have it. But as Shem is saying, that's not how you bring Mashiach. You bring Mashiach by manifesting that because you're willing to leave. You're willing to give everything up. It's not easy. You have to tear out by its root that attribute of selfishness that's within you. When the hurricane hit in Puerto Rico, were you secretly glad that it was in Puerto Rico and not in Louisiana? When you know yourself, you can change yourself. When you are talking the words intellectually, you're not really changing yourself. You're going through the motions, and that's called religiosity. It's not easy. But the reward, the effect, is worth the effort. Any questions? Have I upset you, Malka or Hannah?
No.
Not at all.
I experience giving up my beautiful home and 50 years of things that were very important to me because I couldn't take them to Israel. It took over a year, you know, to be able to dismantle everything. So I know what it's like.
And I know you have. What's the spiritual reason you're back in Louisiana?
I feel like it's a letter toes that brought us back. We kept trying to find another apartment. And because we were in a two-family apartment.
That's a physical reason. That's saying I really didn't want to give up beautiful home. I'm not criticizing you, but let me finish. Okay.
I kept seeing, we had three realtors trying to find an apartment for us. We had several friends looking out for us. But I kept seeing the story of Nakum Ben Gumsi, saying this too was for the good, and I never understood it. And that was the reason. And I felt like if it was meant to come back, then I wouldn't have to say anything to Tony, that Hashem would show him as well. And within a week he did. And even when we were waiting for the taxi, our friend who was the taxi driver, to bring us to the airport, we were staying in a home. We couldn't stay because all our belongings had been picked up. Our apartment was completely empty. But our friend was going to be in the hospital for surgery, so she said, come stay at my house. I'm waiting for the taxi driver to pick us up. And on her coffee table was a book called Life is a Test. And when I opened the book and started reading it, there was the story of Nakum Ben Gumsi again, with this too is really good. You know, so I never understood it. And Malka can tell you, I've got apple canisters in my kitchen because I chose the apple because Hashem's name is in Gematria in the apple, because I never understood. Now, I don't have the beautiful home that I had. I have a nice house. And even miracles came about for that house. We lived with his brother for 6 months. I still don't understand. I sometimes wonder if maybe was I any bore, or did any bore come and I had to go to Israel for the bore. I don't know. And I'm, you know, I
you
still see, even when we... I'm sorry.
You had to go to Israel with the
death. To what?
Were you willing to give up your home? Yes. Were you willing to get out of your comfort zone? Yes. But as soon as the issues happened in Israel, you came back because there were still sparks in Louisiana that you needed to elevate. That's the reason you're back in Louisiana.
So when I pray, and I have my little chair facing the east, I may be in this living room, but I'm looking toward Jerusalem. I know what it's like to go to the Western Mall and to the Kotel, and I know the places that I went for almost a year every day. And
right.
I didn't really want to leave.
You standing in front of the Western Wall. But do you have a desire to go back again?
I have the desire, but my physical body isn't cooperating. And I'm
that's an explanation. Look, you know I live in a wheelchair.
I know
I have these illnesses.
For some reason,
I have these illnesses. I have these things.
If
you look at yourself, you have the desire to go to Israel, you would go. That's the point. The desire is there, but it's not strong enough. The desire for Mashiach for each individual is there, but their idea of Mashiach is not the real meaning of Mashiach. The real meaning of Mashiach is you do not do anything for yourself at all. You only do for others.
Well,
only
I don't I don't know how many hours left in the day that I could do for others anymore. I mean, you can ask Marco from the minute I get up to the minute I go to bed. I mean, just this morning I realized, I didn't do the editing. I didn't realize 2 months had gone by because I always try to stay 2 months ahead. But with Tony having 2 episodes within the last 2 months and my son having that quadruple bypass, it was an emergency, 2 months flew. In fact, I had to ask what day it was yesterday, you know. So
I do understand that. I'm not criticizing it. I do understand it. But you're giving all of the things you're mentioning, all of the things you're mentioning are physical things.
Well,
your reason for not to come back.
And then when Tony
Your son has a triple bypass. So you need to be home close to him because you were shocked by it. Why were you shocked by it? Because it's a wake-up call. You do what you have to do, and I understand that. But these are all the tests that we all go through. And our desire to receive is a mixture between for oneself alone and in order to share. And as long as it's a mixture, we aren't ready for Mashiach to manifest in our lives. Maybe for a moment, maybe for a week. But then we fall back down.
And we
started to read.
And get back up.
Exactly. We get back up and go a little bit higher. We read in the goodness of the land of Israel, the fact that we take a breath outside of Israel is an indication we're not ready for the Mashiach. Well, but of course I have to take a breath that I'm in exile, I'm outside of Israel. Of course I have to breathe. No. You don't have to breathe. If Hashem wants you to breathe, he'll have you breathe. And he'll have you breathe air that is not defiled by the exile. Those are the spiritual concepts. We teach them. We try and live by them. But they're not part of us. In our Lashon Yehud, I have two things I'm saying. There are two mitzvot that I relate to in the Lashem Yehud. One is the words of Torah, and one is La'asok ba'Torah, being busy with the Torah, living the Torah. Why do I say both? Most people just say the words of Torah. We're going to study the words of Torah. But my teachers have taught me, you can study all you want. It doesn't change you until you choose to bring those words into your life and live them. And as long as Mashiach hasn't manifested in my life, I know I haven't lived them. I'm still learning to live them. There's nothing wrong with what you've said. Everything that you've said is a physical explanation that is very human, very understandable, very, very clear. But you didn't come into this world to remain human. But everybody around us, everything around us, keeps pulling us back to that level of being human. How do we go past that level. How do we become divine? When I no longer remember myself. When I have eliminated my ego to the point that every action I do is for someone else. And we are all, and me especially, is very far from that level. As you know, I was in the hospital 10 days ago. When I was in that hospital, I was striving to overcome that feeling of being sick and lack and wanting to just lie in bed and do nothing. So a few minutes out of the day, I'd have the consciousness that I am here so that these nurses could help me. Did it last more than a minute at a time? No. And I have to be honest about who I am and where I am spiritually. Now, the last time I was in the hospital, I didn't even have those minutes. So I know there's some growth, but it's very slow and very difficult. What is your goal? If you don't know what your goal is, you're never going to move to that goal. And once you achieve that goal, there'll be another goal. You can't rest on your laurels. As long as you're in this earth, in this body, in this world, you have a tikkun. And everything that happens to you and about you and with you is about manifesting that change, that tikkun. But who lives like that? Who can keep their consciousness in that focused? The Kabbalists can. But a student of Kabbalah is just struggling to get to that level. And he or she will get to that level. But in order to get to that level, you have to be honest with yourself. All of the explanations that we give each other, they have to be spiritual. They have to be open. Whenever I mention something physical, I'm being pulled back down. So now that I've beaten everybody up enough, it's in a few hours. At least our Rosh Chodesh connection at Bondi Rosh Chodesh.
I think more Malka would probably agree with me. But we as women, we do ask ourselves every day, what's our motivation for doing this? And really, for the love of Hashem. And I mean, even as children, our parents taught us how important it was to do for other people, and we had the examples in them. I saw my mother raise chickens and sell eggs just to be able to give to someone whose house had burned. I mean, and Tommy's parents were just the same type people. I mean, we were raised in that, and you know, to me, my goal is that we all get to the point where we're back to where we're walking with Hashem in the garden again, not just ourselves.
Yeah.
It's just like we're getting ready to get on the boat.
Yes, you will. I know you will. It's not a question. You will. But when the phone call, you call into the conference call, and the phone drops out and you have to call back in, are you thinking about Hashem at that moment? No, you're reactive, like everyone.
Yes, but if it's because you know, for example, that it's someone whose husband that just passed away, and you know that person, at that moment, that person was more important than the conference call that I could listen to on the recording.
I'm not talking about when the phone rings. I'm talking about when you're connected and then your phone drops off. And you have to call back in, and it takes it's a headache and a frustration to call back in right away, because you don't need it right away.
Maybe
that's not happening.
No, but mainly it's because I know it's my fault. I need to press the wrong button. But those things don't bother me like that anymore. Oh, maybe I kind of hate that I missed wherever you are. But
that's the indication of spiritual growth. If they're no longer bothering you, then you will no longer experience them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the few, the little bit of it at the end is called the dust of that action. And every once in a while, that test will come back just to test to see if you maintained yourself.
Hmm. Well, you remember the last time I got interrupted and I told you it was a neighbor that had something to tell me or to ask me. And I made the decision not to go. Not, I thought she was going to go back because she lives across the street. I thought she was going to go back and then come back here, but she didn't. She sat in the living room and talked to Tony. Do you know what she wanted? She had bought this little mini skirt, and she wanted to know my opinion about it. Was it too tight? And I thought to myself, now you see, I did the right thing by having her wait and me stay on the conference call. I thought she wanted my opinion about something, you know, a big, important decision she had to make. You know, she's a single mother. But it was, I think, of her short dress that she bought for $10. Was it too tight? I laughed about it after she left, you know. But I thought, okay, that was the right decision that time. Oh, well. We could go through all day long giving you examples. But
And I accept those examples. I know there's improvement, but I'm saying if we had reached the level, Mashiach would be here. If we had taught enough people, Mashiach would be here. The fact that he's not is my responsibility, my fault. And that's why I have to redouble my efforts, that's all.
You know, how many times we've said the travel prayer? But, you know, for the last few years, and I'm sure it's because of your teachings and what we've learned, my prayer tomorrow isn't that we have a safe trip. It's that everybody that's on the road tomorrow and today, you know, have a good trip. You know, so I think our consciousness is beginning to change.
It is. I know it is. You all have a good evening. Chodesh Tov, and I'll speak to you about 9 o'clock your time.
Okay. And I now realize why we have Heshbon so we can rest. After our busy, busy Tishrei, I need a little. No. So anyway, thank you. Thank you so much.
You take care. Bobby, you have a good evening.
Good evening. Have a good evening.
Okay, bye. Bye, Malcolm.
Bye.
Bye-bye.